So I'm Josh, and this is Voices from the Field, where we have conversations with pastors and ministry leaders that are doing really great things. And the idea behind this is to bring in other voices of, well, other people and hear what they're going through, what they've dealt with, and then also what God can do. And today specifically, we're talking with leaders that have experienced some different pain in some level within their life, and how that pain wasn't the end of their story, but that pain was the beginning of the story. Because when we surrender that pain to God, He can take that, redeem that, and do amazing things through it. And so I'm joined here by Matt, who has been serving within the ministry for, did you say over 7 years?
Just about 7 years, yeah.
Just about 7 years. Awesome. And so before we dive into some of these questions, Matt, do me a favor and introduce yourself.
Yeah, hey, first of all, thanks for having me. I've always said that if I ever got invited on a podcast, I will have officially said I made it in life. So now I can tell people I made it in life. But so my name is Matt. I am the student director at Colonial Church in Wichita Falls, Texas. I'm married to my best friend. We have been married for 4 years. I'm sorry, 10 years with four different kids. We have Kinsley, she's our oldest, and we have Emerson. He is a spit and image of his mom and an attitude spit and image of me. So pray for me with him. Then we have Anakin. I got to name him. Big Star Wars fan, so she let me name him. And then we have Eliana, whose name means my God has answered prayers. And if you knew her story, we're not really going to talk about it with today, but if you knew her story, her name is very fitting. She is a rainbow baby and a miracle child as well. So
That's
she's
awesome.
just, we call her a miracle child. She smiles all the time, and she just knows she's blessed to be alive. She clinically should not be alive, and I think she knows it. So that's why she's always smiling.
Man, that's amazing. And I love the name Anakin. But also, it's kind of amazing when even our kids have their own story and we get to kind of share in that. All right, so we're talking about pain and the actual podcast thing. I shared about some of my skin disorder that I had growing up and still now, and how that pain shaped me. So I would love to hear a bit of your story and kind of maybe share some of the pain or loss or challenge that shaped your journey.
So I'm 30 years old, and you'd think, what kind of pain does a 30-year-old have? And I used to say that when I was like 15 or 16, and we'd have a guest youth pastor. It's like, I've been through so much. It's like, dude, you're 30 years old. What could you have been through? And I think like my story is God saying, you probably should have shut up when you were a student, because I have so much pain and heartache. When I was 19 years old, I was kidnapped. And
Wow.
that was a traumatic experience, and one that I didn't realize I was carrying trauma with until I started seeing a therapist years later. But the story I want to share with you and with the listeners of this podcast is, in 2023, I was deployed to the Middle East on my birthday. And so on your birthday, you get the texts and the phone calls and everything. And my Facebook Messenger, obviously, because you can't take regular phone calls. So my Facebook Messenger starts ringing, and I see the name pop up, and it's my best friend's sister. And she's like my little sister. She's 2 days younger, or I'm sorry, she's 2 days older than my youngest sister. So growing up with her and my sister being best friends, and then me and her brother being best friends, she really was like my little sister. So I thought she was just calling to tell me happy birthday. So I was like, I answered the phone. I said, "Hey, what's up?" And she goes, "Are you sitting down?" And I heard her voice, and I was like,
Oh, no.
"Hey, what's wrong?" And she said, "Kimball passed away." And Kimball was my best friend. I was like, "What do you mean Kimball passed away?" She said, "Last night he committed suicide." And I was like, "This is a sick joke." And she's like, "I'm not joking." She said, "Matthew," and I used to go by Matthew. I have since, adopted the name Matt. So when people use Matthew, I know it's serious. She's like, "Matthew, Kimball's gone." And on my birthday, I was like, well, this kind of just ruined my birthday for me forever. And so I had just hung up the phone. I just hung up FaceTime with my wife because I was talking to my kids and everything. I had to call my wife back. I'm crying. She's like, "What happened? What happened?" And I was like, "Kimball's gone." And I had to break the news that my best friend had committed suicide. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call from my mom. My grandmother passed away to dementia. Now, we saw that one happening. We saw that one coming, but it still doesn't take the hurt away when you have to receive the phone call that your grandmother passed away, especially when you're 9,000 miles away in the Middle East. And then my wife at the time was pregnant, and she had not been, because of the time difference, she kind of altered her sleep schedule. She hadn't been responding. So I was like, ah, cool. Finally, she's on a normal sleep schedule. And then she calls me and she says, hey, don't freak out. I'm in the hospital. And I was like, now, how are you going to lead with don't freak out and then tell me you're in the hospital? That doesn't make sense to me. But she said, it's an ectopic pregnancy. And I was like, I don't know what that means. And she said, the baby has no chance of surviving. I'm going in for surgery right now so my tubes don't rupture.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm like, what the heck, man? Like, how do I? So I grab my supervisor. I'm trying to hold it together because I'm in the dining facilities on the base. And I was like, my wife's having emergency surgery. She's about to lose the baby. This could kill her too. He was like, okay, stay right here. He left. He called the commander. And I'll always be thankful for my commander. It was her very first command in a deployed location, which is kind of a froggy situation. She did not hesitate. She made the call. She's like, hey, I'm not saying you're not a valuable part of our team, but we don't need you. You're going home to be with your family. So within about 16 hours, I had my bags packed and I was on my way home to my family. And so my wife, she's going through the recovery and everything. I'm readjusting. I had been gone only a couple months, but I'm readjusting to being back home. And we go to church, and life is finally starting to feel like, hey, we can breathe. And then we came home from church, and our family pet, our 5-year-old German Shepherd, who was the best dog in the world, was just dead. And we, to this day, have no idea why our German Shepherd was dead. It was just like, God, can we catch a break, from Kimball to my grandmother to the baby to now Athena, our prized German Shepherd, the best dog we've ever owned. Can we catch a break? And it was just like hit after hit after hit after hit. And that's probably the biggest stretch of loss that I've had. And one that really did shape my journey was that whole 2023, the first quarter of 2023.
Wow. I mean, just like one thing after another, like it's a whole lot for one person to carry. And yet in the midst of all that, a lot of that you were deployed to. I mean, it's just wow. So like what were some of the thoughts or doubts or questions that you had? I know you shared a little bit of like, hey God, can't we just catch a break? What were some of the emotions that you were feeling or that you wrestled with during that time?
Yeah, there's a lot of emotions obviously that go, God, can we catch a break? Hey, you start asking God, hey God, what are you doing? Just I get you have a plan, and we tend to sometimes take human emotion out of tragedy, especially in ministry. It's like, oh, well, you're a Christian, you're a ministry leader, you're a youth pastor, you should know what's going on. That's God doesn't always give us the plan. And so admittedly, some of my biggest prayers during this time was not, God, show me your will, God, show me why you're doing this. It's, God, are you real? Like, how can you let me go through this? And I'm not saying that because I think I'm, super Christian or anything. It's just like it was one hit after another after another after another, where it's like, God, do you care? And if you do, how are you letting this happen? And God, are you even real? Like, how can this happen to somebody who's like, hey, I said I want to separate from the military when the time is right, and I want to go into full-time ministry. I feel like I'm doing a good job with being the husband my wife deserves. And now, granted, I'm not perfect. My wife will probably be the first to tell you that. I'm not a perfect dad. I mess up with raising all my kids. And it's just like, but I'm at least trying not to say that I'm legalistic and I have to earn God's favor, but I'm trying to mold my life into a way where it's like I want people to see my life and say, hey, that dude's a Christian based off what he sees. And then all this happens where I was like, God, are you even real? Was my biggest question and my biggest prayer. And it's now, as a student director at a church, it's kind of embarrassing to say, like, hey, I'm a student director, I mentor students from 6th to 12th grade. And just a few years ago, I was borderline agnostic, questioning the existence of God. But it's cool because I heard it when I was a kid, and I use it to this day. One of the cliche sayings I heard from my kid, but I use it to this day. Obviously, my kid's name is Anakin. I'm a big nerd. I heard a youth pastor say, God's will is not the bat light, it's your headlights. And I'm like, hey, what does that mean? And then he explained it. Read in the comic books, if you know about Batman, no matter where you are in Gotham City, when that bat light goes in the sign, Bruce Wayne can see it and he knows Batman is needed. No matter where you're at, you know Batman is needed. But when you get in your car at night and you're going to drive to Chick-fil-A or to Chipotle or to Target or wherever you're going, and you back out of your driveway at night, you can't see Chipotle. You can only see like the first 50 feet in front of you. But when you get to those next 50 feet, what can you see? The next 50 feet. And what I didn't realize at the time, and what I do realize now, is God was just leading me on this journey, showing me the first 50 feet, the heartache, the loss was God's will. As crazy as that is to say, how can a good, loving God say this is his will? But it was. And he uses this loss and he uses this tragedy to help you along your way.
That's awesome. And it's deep, but then also I love that illustration as well, growing up with comics and stuff. I mean, that's but it's so true. And I think one of the things that I've told my students, kind of learning through trial and error too, is like the doubt doesn't disqualify you. Like asking God doesn't disqualify you from anything. I think more than anything, it's what we decide to do with those doubts. Is it going to push us deeper into God to actually discover, okay, God, what is like your will with this? Or do we kind of go to outside sources and allow us to pull away from him? So like
Absolutely.
with all that you went through and all those different emotions that you're now processing and everything like that, like what was the point where you felt like, okay, I'm starting to see, I'm seeing that next goalpost, that next light, and I'm starting to see how God is starting to work these things out and work through that pain, like not just in spite of the pain, but like work with that pain and turn it around into something else.
Yeah, so at Gathering Church where I was at Florida, I was a middle school small group leader. And if you've never served in middle school small group, I think you should. It grows your faith. Sometimes you're sitting there and you'll ask a question, or somebody will teach a lesson, and you're like, oh, that was so good. And you go into small group time and you're like, hey, what did y'all think of this? And they're like, well, I really think it's weird that the sky is blue. Like, no, what do you think of the lesson? Middle school is just,
That
it is a
sums it up
faith.
right there with middle
And, I mean,
schoolers.
yeah, that's middle school right there. But it was fall kickoff. We broke for the summer because where we were at in Florida, most people left in the summer because everybody came to us. We were where we were at in Florida. We were in October, we were 20 minutes from Destin. In July, we were 2.5 hours from Destin. So most of our students left in the summer. So we took a pretty healthy break in the summer. And so it was our fall kickoff night. And I'm still going through this. Like, is God real? I don't even know if I want to go to students tonight. Like, there's four other leaders. They can handle it. And I had the text type out to the student director of the church. I was like, hey, not going to make it tonight. And something in me was just like, just go. And so I did. I was like, all right, cool. And I went, and we kicked off a series on the story of Exodus from Exodus 1 through the whole book. And, chapter 1 of Exodus is talking about how Israel is in captivity from Egypt, and where's God? Where's God? Where's God? And why the student director, like, he doesn't know I'm dealing with this. I haven't told anybody this. And he's like, everyone at one point in their life may ask the question, where's God? And I'm sitting there like, is he talking to me? Because I'm going through this right now. And so here I am, a middle school leader, supposed to be leading these guys. And Jeremiah, the student director of the church, is really there to pour into the students. What he's doing is he's pouring directly into me. He's like, hey, Matt's struggling. This is for him. And he's not calling me out. He doesn't even know he's teaching towards me. I'm just like, this is crazy. And then he's like, now we're going to go through the book of Exodus, but fast forward, Israel is free. Israel ends up winning. Now they do stupid stuff along the way that delays them to getting into the promised land. But at the end of the day, Israel does win at the end of the story fully. And I was just like, what if God's telling me, like, hey, you're in captivity now because of all the tragedy, all the loss. But at the end of the day, you're going to win. I'm going to let my will, I'm going to let this tragedy be known. And so you can say, hey, I've been through this. Let me help you through that. And it didn't come till later. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes, but it didn't come till later where it was finally like the light bulb aha moment. But it was that moment where I had zero desire to be at students. I did not want to be at the church. I wanted to be at home playing Call of Duty, doing absolutely nothing. Where God was like, I got you, dude. Just hold on just a little bit longer. I got you.
That's awesome. I love it when you're in that point where you're even I'm sure you've experienced this, and maybe you've experienced it and you've yet to know it because, fast forward a decade later when a student reveals it to you, but like you're preparing stuff for students, and yet it's the leaders that are also growing through it. That whole idea that God's word doesn't return void. So as you were kind of alluding to, like how has that pain helped shape the way that you show love to others, or you lead or serve others today? Like what did you learn through that that has affected the way that you minister to others, or even the students within your own ministry?
Yeah, so I'm going to put this strictly in context of student ministry. So it might be different for other people listening, but I'm going to talk strictly about student ministry for a second because we're talking with 6th to 12th graders or 7th to 12th graders, whatever the church dynamic is. They don't know everything. In fact, what they do know is very minuscule. So when they come to you and they're like, "Hey, Matt, I'm kind of questioning faith. I'm kind of questioning God." When I grew up, if I were to say that, it was like, oh, you just need to pray more. Oh, you don't have enough faith. That's why you're questioning it. And then that's what I grew up believing. And then I go through 2023 and I start questioning faith and I not even faith. I question the existence of God. And I was like, man, like am I a bad Christian for this? And some people will say, yeah, you're a bad Christian for questioning that. But I would violently disagree. I think the questioning isn't a lack of faith. It is actually strengthening your faith. Just to say, hey, God, what is going on? Because it shows you care. And as a parent, there's times where your kids might drive you nuts, where it's like you make a rule and they question you in a bad way, where it's like, well, why? But then there's a time where just a while ago, I had to tell my son, like my son is old enough to play Fortnite. He was talking to people in Fortnite that he didn't know. And I had to explain to him, hey, you're not allowed to talk to people that you don't know. And he asked why. And it wasn't disrespectful. It wasn't questioning my authority. It was a genuine question. Why? Why can't I talk to people I don't know? And I was like, hey, buddy, there's people out there that are bad and they want to hurt kids and they don't have your best interest. That's why you're only allowed to talk to people you actually know. Friends from school, your cousins, or anything. And he was like, oh, I get it. So when he was questioning me, it wasn't him destroying his relationship with me. It was him strengthening his relationship with me. So when we question things that happen, it's not destroying your relationship with God if you're questioning in the right method, right? If my son would have been like, why, Dad, that's stupid, then I might have drop kicked him, figuratively. Figuratively, of course. But when you question the right way, hey dad, why can't I talk to people I don't know? Well, this is why. Oh, I get it. Hey God, why is this happening? This is why. Hold on. And you'll be able to use your tragedy to help somebody else later down the road.
Can you think of, and you can be as detailed or as vague as you want to, but can you think of a specific story or person where you're like, this is a moment where God definitely used my pain to help strengthen someone else's walk with God?
Yeah, so my current church, I came on board staff February 1st, 2025. I am also in the military. I don't know if I have mentioned that yet, but well, I mentioned I was deployed, so I guess people put two and two together. But I'm in the military. I had relocated from Florida, against my will. Uncle Sam was like, "You're moving," and I was like, "Okay, yeah, I signed on the dotted line. I guess I'm moving." It's cool. I mean, we don't have time to tell this story, but just how God moved in the move from Florida to where I'm at now, and being hired on as the student director while also being in the military is just, it's nothing but a God thing. There's no, but even an hardcore atheist could hear the story and be like, "Yeah, I think that was a higher power that set all this up." And so, February 1st, I got hired on with the student director at the church was transitioning out to go back to school full time. And so February, I was just a fly on the wall. I didn't teach, I didn't lead anything. I was just a fly on the wall. How do things operate here at the church? And then in March, we started, piggybacking off each other. You have 1 week, I have 1 week, and it was a slow transition. It was actually one of the best things I've ever been a part of and ever seen in ministry, where it was like, "Hey, I'm leaving for a good reason. This guy's coming in. Let's give him a warm welcome. Let's help him." And it was an awesome transition. It was I'm a night owl. I don't know what most people listening are, but I'm a night owl. I hate mornings, love nights. One of the leaders on my team is just the opposite. She loves mornings, hates nights. So it was about 10:45, and I get a text from her. So I know something's wrong, because she's like, "I'm in bed at 8:30." She tells me all the time, "I'm in bed at 8:30." And so I get a
We know
text from
some of
her.
those people.
I was like, and she said, "Hey, can you call Zach, her son? There was a suicide in the high school here, and he knew the young man very well." And then just a wave of emotions. Like, I feel bad for the high school guys, because most of them go to the same high school. So not only does Zach, her son, know, but now all the high school guys are going to go through this. Then I have the wave of emotions of just a few years ago, I lost my best friend to suicide. And then when I had that thought, it was like a light bulb moment. You know what this is like. And I don't know the statistics about it, but I don't know how many student directors, youth pastors, next gen pastors, whatever we're calling them today, I don't know how many have lost a good friend to suicide. And I hope and pray after walking through it that that statistic is closer to zero than it is to 100. But I was like, "I know what these guys are feeling." And so I call him, and we're talking, and we're crying together. We pray together. And then there was just something inside me. It was like the Holy Spirit was moving. He was like, "Hey, you need to scrap your small group time with high school, and you need to talk about mental health." And so I felt the leading of the Holy Spirit. I was like, "Cool." We did Wednesday night normal. We did our announcements, our game, our teaching time, all completely normal. And then afterwards, I was like, "All right, middle school, y'all go to your small group. High school, stay here." We all huddled around, and I was like, "Why do y'all think we're not going to small groups tonight?" And nobody knew. And I was like, "We're here to talk about what happened last weekend." And then it was just an immediate, like, on cue. People just start crying because they know where we're going. And I had alluded to it, but I had never told the story of how I lost my best friend. And we just sat there, and I was like, "Hey, here's mental health from a biblical standpoint, but here's also mental health from a practical standpoint." Because a lot of times in church, the big C church, sometimes they want to take biblical and practical, and they want to separate them. When oftentimes, if you read the Bible, it's like, "Hey, that's practical advice." Like, you and I were talking before the interview started about how we both believe the Bible is God's perfect word. And so when you're reading this and it's like, "Yeah, God said this 4 to 6 to 8,000 years ago," it still applies in 2025. And so we
Absolutely.
talked about it from a biblical standpoint, and we talked about it from a practical standpoint. And we cried together, we prayed together, we hugged each other, we sat in silence for 10, 15 minutes where nobody said anything, and we just let the weight of what was going on be there, and we let the presence of God just like fill the room. And had I not lost my best friend a few years ago, I don't know if I would have been able to relate. Yeah, I would have been empathetic, of course. What animal wouldn't be empathetic? But I don't know if I could relate to the loss the way I could, knowing that I lost my best friend 2 years ago to suicide. And it was just a light bulb moment where I was like, hey, obviously God's will is not suicide, right? There's nothing in the Bible that will ever lead anybody that understands how to read the Bible to say, yep, it was God's will for suicide. That's just not biblical. However, there's plenty of verses all throughout the Old and New Testament where it's like, hey, even in the bad times, God's still there. And I can make a bad thing a good thing. And that's how I felt that Wednesday night in March, just talking with our high school students, like, hey, this sucks. I get it. I've been here. But I promise you one thing, you as a high school student are not going to walk through this alone. And it was one of the best nights I've ever had in ministry.
Man, it's powerful because when we're in the midst of those storms and experiencing the pain and everything like that, you feel like there's no escape and that there's nothing good that can come from it. But it's like the idea that God doesn't waste our tears, like the pain that we went through, if he can turn around and use it for good, and the fact that he lined you up so perfectly with those students that were going through that at that time, and maybe help them process something that you didn't even have the ability to process in the moment that you experienced all that. You help them in a step towards that deeper walk with God, and I mean that's a level of discipleship there. So that's so amazing. I appreciate you sharing that. Let's kind of and wrapping up. Maybe there's someone that's listening that is in the midst of that storm. Maybe they're surrounded by great people. Maybe they have no one at all. Maybe they've come across this podcast thing and they're literally at that point saying, hey, God, where are you? Do you even exist? Do you even care? Throughout the whole process of God redeeming your pain, what is one thing that you would tell them in this moment?
Probably as cliche as it sounds, seek the mentor. I told you about, the time fall kickoff in Florida where the student director of the church was teaching directly at me. I had not told anybody that I was dealing with, God, where are you? Do you even exist? And afterwards, I left. We did a small group and I didn't even talk to him there. I texted him. And I don't know why I didn't talk to him. I have no problem saying anything. Like I'm a loud mouth. My wife tells me all the time, hey, you have no problem like saying the hard things. So I didn't even talk to him. I texted him. I was like, hey dude, this is what I've been experiencing. I really appreciate it tonight. I didn't want to come, truth be told. I'm glad I did because what Israel was going through is what I'm going through right now. And then he sent me, and him and I usually communicated in memes or Instagram reels or something. He sent me this long book. It was like, hey, pretty much said everything that I said in this podcast. God's going to reach it out. So reach out to that mentor. You said, hey, maybe you're surrounded by great people. Let them know. You said, maybe there's no one around. Find somebody. It's 2025. The resources are there. Find somebody and then trust God. As cliche as that is, right? Sometimes you just have to faith it, right? I hate cliches. I do. I truly do. Don't think that I'm going to my student ministries on Wednesday night and just teaching cliches. I hate them. But trust God because he might use that headlight metaphor that I used earlier, where it's like, hey, you don't know the final destination. And God might not reveal all the final destination here. There's some things that we might not be privy to until we get to heaven. To this day, I still don't know why my best friend committed suicide. Will I ever? Probably not. I know he battled depression, but I don't know what led him to taking his own life. He could have reached out to his parents. He could have reached out to his sister, to me, to anybody. Why he did it, I don't know. And I probably never will on this earth. But I know God had a plan, and I know now more than ever because he's allowed me to walk through that hurt with other people. So if you're struggling, understand you might know everything about this loss, this tragedy, this heartache, whatever you're going through. You might get to know everything this side of heaven. You might not. Just trust God.
Awesome. Well, I realize This isn't a topic where we're talking about, how to build great volunteers or, the best curriculum. This is a lot more personal and it's a lot more vulnerable. And so I just wanted to thank you for sharing your story and allowing yourself to be vulnerable with myself and then anyone else that's gonna listen to this, but most importantly, just sharing of what God can do through the midst of that pain. Do you have like a little shout out that you want to do? Tell us, what's the name of your ministry again and all that. Do a little shout out.
Yeah, so I'm student director of Colonial Church. We kept it simple. We are Colonial students. This is my rookie year with them. As of the recording, the date of recording, we are kicking off tonight. It is my rookie year. We are kicking off tonight. So just if you're listening to this, whether it's as soon as it releases, whether it's 5, 10 years down the road after recording, just be thinking of Colonial students in your prayers. Be thinking of the leaders and just. Not just Colonial students, but all of the youth pastors and student pastors. We hear all the time from stages, students are the future of the church. I don't believe that. I believe they are the now of the church. So just be thinking of, people that are pouring into that, what is known as next gen ministry, but really it is the current gen that is going to be raising up the church.
Awesome. Well, thank you again very much. It was a great conversation and I hope that those that listen to this actually walked away with something as well, and experienced a level of growth. So thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me.